You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What up, guys? It's the 3M Podcast. My name is Charlie.
My name's DJ.
My name is Sean.
We're a comedy horror podcast. We tell scary stories, we tell funny stories, and shoot the shit. You know what I mean?
Tonight in the studio, we got Nick.
Heyo!
What's up?
So we've said farewell to our good friend, Kalima.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Not really. Okay, that's not funny.
He had a baby, his second baby. So he also has his own passion projects that he's trying to move on with. So good luck to him. We hope to have him on for 3 p.m. because he has stories.
Yeah.
But Nick, jumping in to the studio.
Young Nick.
Young Nick.
It worked.
Yeah. So we got him on deck for now, and we're happy to have him.
He got about 30 seconds of training, and we said, all right, let's go. So he's running it all tonight.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
You just flew in at midnight last night.
Yes, sir.
From New York City.
Yep.
How was it?
It was awesome, dude. I love New York.
It's cool, man.
It's the best, bro. I don't know what it is. What about it? The energy, just so much is happening. I don't know. It's like possibility and potential. That's what I feel. Also, I'm a mad tourist because I look around, I'm like, I'm in a movie right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like every back alley, I'm like, dude, you could film a scene right here. Yeah. You know, I don't know. The food, bro. We had some dang food. And for fear of like getting shot by some West Coasters, I had some of the best tacos of my life.
Bro, on the East Coast. I told you that's the number one best bite I've had in all of 2021.
I was hell skeptical because last time I was on the East Coast, we got tacos in Boston and they were literal trash, like the worst food. I was so upset. I threw like 90% of the burrito just like straight in the trash, and I do not throw food away. Like I will finish the whole thing. So it just tainted my whole view of like East Coast and
Mexican food.
Their rendition of Mexican food. I was like, they just don't have it.
Yeah.
Which is still probably like 90% true. But this place in New York, mad authentic. It's called Los Tacos Number One.
Yeah.
And dude, I walked in and I was like, okay, the vibe is right.
Yeah.
The people in here, no one's speaking English. That's right.
Yeah.
And they weren't like Cuban. They were Mexican. You know what I'm saying? So everything was right. And then we order. And holy shit, dude, it was like some of the best tacos I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Still, like I would say better tacos exist Southern California, but like these were amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. What else?
This Thai spot.
Ooh.
If you're ever in New York and you want amazing Thai food and like a hole in the wall experience, like truly a diamond in the rough or whatever, it's called Wan Di Siam. It was suggested to us by Reed's mom, who's from Thailand. She's like, this is the best Thai spot that she's found. Bro, it is every bite. It's just like the best. It's one of those spots where like the juice on the bottom of the plate, I was like frantically dipping rice in.
Start to,
like,
drinking the juice
in the plate. Because like I didn't want any. Dude, we got like a full snapper. I was like picking every little piece of meat. And everything.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. It was one of the best meals, that Thai meal I've had since Seattle, which is like tall order. Those are like the best meals of my life. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
So lots of food.
New York's lit.
Those were your best bites.
There. Yeah, easy.
The tacos and the Thai.
Easy.
And then what else did you do besides food?
Did you
sneak anything else in? Shopping or museums or any?
Couple things. My wife and I, every Christmas season, love to go to New York because it's just fun to feel like the Christmas vibe there.
Was it snowing?
No.
No.
Weirdly.
It's warm here in Utah.
Yeah.
I was up the canyon and I didn't see any snow.
What?
Yesterday.
Wait, we're supposed to get snow Thursday.
Yeah.
Also, we're recording this on the 6th of December. Yeah.
Monday.
Hell yeah. Monday. Yeah. 6. But anyway, no, we just like, so we went and saw the Rockefeller tree, all that stuff.
Cool.
But I did cross off a thing off my childhood bucket list.
What's that?
I saw
Magic Mike.
Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what?
Dude, when I was like 10, my aunt was like, she was just talking about seeing Phantom of the Opera, and she said it was like the coolest experience of her life. And since I was little, I was like, I want to go to New York and see Phantom of the Opera. So we did, dude. It was hella dope. I love it. The production is insane. Like, uncomprehensible how they can make a stage so many different places like that. It's unreal. I don't know. Have you guys ever seen shows like in New York or anywhere like Vegas or anything?
I've seen like one or two shows, like plays.
Yeah.
I saw one at the, what's the one up the
Hale?
The Hale Center in like Sandy. That was like the only one I've seen that wasn't a high school play though. So
I've seen Cirque du Soleil in Vegas.
Which one?
But that's the only thing I can't remember. It was like 2014, 15.
Oh.
But I had a homie performing in it.
That's the only one I know.
No.
No.
You had a buddy in Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's Native American, and he did hoop dancing.
Uh-huh.
So he traveled them all over the world, and he's like won world competitions in hoop dancing.
Dude, that's lit. What's his name?
He's not a buddy anymore, obviously. I can't remember his name. Michael Godel.
Carl.
G-O-E-D-E-L is his name. Dude, it's been years since I've seen him. He lives in a different state, and he has like different group of friends, so we haven't really stayed connected, but at the time, we were hanging out a decent amount, but...
That's dope.
Yeah. But, dude, Broadway, I feel bad, but it has like zero appeal to me. Like, I have zero interest in going to Broadway. I don't like, I understand that the production value, high, the acting, incredible, the talent and the skill of everyone there.
But like pure entertainment value
for you. But like, I don't know, I never feel like a magnetic pull towards going to a Broadway show.
Yeah.
There's just other things I'd rather do first.
But sure.
Maybe I feel like I should break that. Anytime there's something that I don't like, I'm like,
no,
I want to change it. I don't want to like hold me back, you know?
Yeah, okay, but, yeah.
Because you might be missing something. Or
exactly,
like,
yeah.
That's a cool practice to have.
I've like really never seen plays either, but the one I saw at the Hale Center was...
You didn't have Drama Club?
Drama Club? No, dude. Homeschoolers don't have that, bro. it was called Mousetrap, and it was like a mystery, and like that's my jam, so I thought it was dope. I didn't know what it was going though. That's cool. Kind of went in like blind.
I love when you have low expectations or no expectations and you're just like pleasantly blown. Surprised. I love it. I had the same thought as I was watching Phantom of the Opera. I was like, dude, this is clearly like not everyone's cup of tea. And even like people in the audience around me, I could tell were just like so bored.
You can like pick them out.
So I don't know. Yeah, I was like, and if we're being honest, it's like I wouldn't sit down and watch that every day. But I think it was like the pure nostalgia and just like being there and witnessing it for me. But I would agree. I don't know. There's something to that. Can I move on real quick?
Yeah.
By far the craziest thing that happened to me was on the flight back. Okay. Tell me if I'm a bad person or not. But
yes,
I'm sitting
you are
there.
A bad person.
Okay. I'm sitting there.
You put your feet on the seat in front of you.
Yeah, toes
oh,
out.
Oh, gosh, dude.
I pinched the back of their arm to move them with my big toe. No. I'm sitting there in my chair, and the row ahead of me, you know, like you can look through the cracks and you can clearly see like what they're watching. You know what I mean? So I'm just like minding my own business. I'm trying to put on a movie, and I look up, and the lady who is front right to me.
Okay.
So diagonal right to me. She's texting on her phone. Her phone brightness is 110%. It's like a flashlight. And her text, you know how you can like go in settings and you can make your text bigger?
Yeah.
Hers was easily like twice the size normal. Like, so I can clearly see everything she's texting, right? So I was just like sitting there and I look over and I see she's texting whatever. And then she sends a photo.
Oh, no.
And it happens to be of her in a bra, like pushed up against some glass. And I was like, whoa.
Bro, you pervy.
So I start looking. Just wait, dude. Just wait. This is a roller coaster, I promise. I start looking and I'm like reading the text and holy shit, she is full on sexting. In like public. Like, and she
no
was holding
shame.
Her phone up like this. Like she was holding her phone up.
Straight up in front of her face.
Yes.
She's like showing it to people. Like,
So I'm like looking and I'm like reading and I'm like hands rubbing, fingers, like all these like trigger words. And I like elbow MJ who's sitting next to me. I was like, yo. Well, actually I texted her and I was like, dude, the lady in front of you is full on sexting. She's like, I don't care. But to me, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, who does that? So I'm just like watching more. And this is where, am I a bad person? Because now I'm like fully into it. And I'm like, I want to see what's going on. So I'm doing detective work. She has a huge engagement ring with a rock that's like this big and a wedding band. So I'm like, oh, she's like, her and her husband just still have spark. And she's like, probably 40s, right? I'm like, oh, they still have spark. I was like, dope. So she's texting for a while and then she puts her phone down and picks up a second phone.
Oh, frick, dude.
And starts texting two or three people at the same time. I'm like, wait, what is going on? So she has texts coming in. Dudes are talking to her. She then swipes to her locked notes, copies things, sends it to like four or five guys at once.
Oh,
and I'm like, what is going on?
Hustling.
Also, the photos she's sending do not match her physical appearance because she, no hate, no judgment. She's easily almost 300 pounds. She's a large lady. And the thing she's sending is like a hot, fit, a little thick woman, right? So I'm just like,
a little baddie?
Yeah. Just a baddie.
She's just a little saddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like watching her. She has a whole system. She's easily talking to like six guys at once with like replies and pictures and all this stuff. And I'm like, what is happening, dude? And I could like read everything. It's just the raunchiest shit, dude. And I was like, this is wild. Paused my movie to like watch this for an hour and a half. Oh
my gosh.
But yeah. I don't know. Like, what's your guys' theories?
Well, we know what's happening. No theories.
I was like, I felt bad for the dude she was talking to. Cause bro, they were sending like dick pic after dick pic.
You're just looking at a bunch of dudes' dicks then at this point.
But it was like, they clearly thought they were talking to someone that they weren't. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. A part of me, I was like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. A lot of mixed feelings.
So as the, let's call you the eavesdropper.
Just the pervy eavesdropper.
Sure. Does like the moral compass change with who you're eavesdropping on? Let's say it actually was her husband. Like, that's a little.
Wait, start all the way back with me. Was I wrong for reading into it? Yeah, probably. It's rude.
Probably.
I shouldn't have looked. But who the fuck out there wouldn't know? Yeah. You know what I mean? Suck my dick. If you said you wouldn't have looked. Unless you're female, I understand. Well, y'all have control or whatever.
Was it hurting anybody involved? No.
I was like, dude, what could I do? I wanted to see if I could like find her an airdrop and just like send her a photo of like the back of her. Be like, I could see that wiener like on your phone, dude. There's kids in here. Okay, so yeah, I was probably wrong for reading. Okay.
Nah.
Moving past that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but as the situation changes and if who you're eavesdropping on, let's say you're eavesdropping on a random conversation and then they start talking about like plotting to murder somebody. You know, like the situation,
I feel like changes the moral compass
and it's like, oh, I feel like you either take on responsibility with like the new knowledge that you have.
Yeah.
It can change the whole dynamic.
So it's kind of on me. I need to find those guys, remember what their wieners look like, match them up.
Exactly. And be
like, you're getting catfished.
Show me your dick.
Can you show me your wieners?
Pull your pants down. Get erect now.
Yeah. I'm not trying to justify, but I really think that's part of like the reality of the situation.
Yeah. I was just bored. It was like some entertainment. And at first I was like, wow, this is kind of spicy. Like, but then I was like, okay,
it's getting more spicy.
And I love mystery. So it's like now something is going on. I need to figure it out. So it became like a mind game where I was like, okay, she has a ring. Like she has two phones. What is happening?
Yeah.
Dude, she had a whole operation. It was wild.
I had a homie who was on Dr. Phil a few years ago.
What?
I won't say her name, but it was her with like,
it's eight, that baby.
Eight other girls.
It was her outside.
And eight other girls who all got catfished by the same person.
Wow.
They were all attending BYU. here in Utah. Mm. And they were all catfished by the same dude. Or so they thought.
Like on Tinder or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And turns out it was a girl.
What?
A lesbian Mormon girl.
So she's dealing with some things.
Yeah.
I'm sure some judgment and self-loathing and
yeah, she's just trying to find some affection or something. I don't know.
But just some human connection.
Insane.
You probably shouldn't lie to people, but I'm not gonna judge whatever. Dude, that is crazy.
Okay.
Did you see that Japanese dude who's like getting prosecuted?
For what?
So a Japanese, this is so Japanese. So Jap of him. But what this dude did is he went out and like started like 30 relationships with different women.
Damn.
And then told each of them that he had a different birthday so that he regularly got presents.
I've seen this.
And that's smart, dude.
Dude, he got caught somehow and then authorities got involved and they like prosecuted him. Yikes. They're like, you're a dick.
Yeah. But, damn, that's professional level. Yeah, dude. Did you see so much has happened while we were not recording?
Yeah.
One of the things was also in Japan. You see the dude dressed up as a Joker in the train?
Oh,
the bullet train? Dude,
that was wild.
So he stabbed the train conductor.
Shite.
And then set the train on fire while it was going. And then he locked all the doors. Finally, the train came to like an emergency stop. And the like smoke starts billowing into all the cars. And people start like kicking the windows.
Oh my gosh.
They finally break the windows and they all crawl out of the windows. And there's a video of people recording the Joker dude in the train. And he's just sitting in the smoke and smoking a cigarette. Yeah. And just waiting for authorities to show up. But
I have mixed emotions. That imagery sounds kind of dope. Right, dude?
It's cinematic.
But that's a terrible thing to do. And in no way are we condoning that. Oh, man, my mind is blown. I did not hear that at all.
Just a little son.
Joker-san.
Joker-san.
Dude, Japan wilding out.
You know what's funny? Nobody dresses or wants to be the Jared Leto Joker. Everybody wants to be Heath Ledger.
I bet he's painfully Phoenix. Aware of that, too. That's so sad.
I just watched House of Gucci earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And are you guys going to go see it?
Negative.
Well, what if our listeners go see it?
Then spoiler alert.
Spoiler, fast forward.
It's based on a true story.
Couple minutes.
Do you know the history of Gucci?
I don't.
Do you want to hear it or no?
Dude, I'm pretty sure that they collab with Supreme.
Migos. Made it something.
Gucci's history is crazy because Gucci comes from the family. Their last name is Gucci. They're all Italian.
The joke I just made is in reference to Versace, not Gucci.
You're good.
I hate my life.
But like Atlanta is huge into Gucci and Versace.
Okay, so start again because all I was thinking about was my dumbass joke.
No. It all started with the Gucci family. One of the family members is like the brother of... So the father...
Are they Italian?
Yeah, they're all like Italian. And the brother is Gucci, but his first name's Aldo. You know the brand Aldo?
Shoes.
Yeah. So they're like...
I knew an Aldo. He smelled really bad. Yeah.
But anyway, the whole story is based on murder. It's pretty fascinating. I didn't like the movie, but like the story was really cool.
Huh.
But it's...
I didn't like the movie, but the story was really cool.
Basically, everyone in the Gucci family either dies or is murdered. And by the 90s, none of the Gucci family worked for Gucci.
Whoa.
It was all these people who bought it up.
Whoa.
So no one who has the Gucci name is like in the Gucci.
Is there Gucci's business. Out there?
Yeah, but I think they're all like poor and broke.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. But Jared Leto was in that movie, and he plays this... like one of the cousin Gucci's, and he's like in his mid-40s, super fat and bald. I didn't know until like 24 hours later. I was reading about it.
Like, that was like, Jared Leto. I was like,
that is shocking, dude. Did he,
so there was like no CGI or prosthetics or anything? Like
just makeup. It was really good makeup. So I see like it now when big. I look at his face, but it was just like, I don't know. When people are in fat suits and they're bald when they have long hair, originally.
Yeah.
I just wasn't thinking about it. But gotcha. Anyway, Jared Leto Joker sucks ass.
Yeah. The point of that story is that's so funny. Two side notes. I have a movie recommendation, and then I saw Candyman.
Finally. Ooh.
But right as it got to like where it was popping off, the plane landed. I'm in the worst position of my life. So like I'm in the middle of the story in my mind still.
Yeah, so finished frick, it.
Dude. Yeah, my mind is just restless.
You like it complete, so far?
It's fun. It's entertaining, but my expectations were really low. So
I thought it was enjoyable.
Yeah, me too. But my movie recommendation, and it's not for everyone. It's silly. It's not going to win an Emmy. Who cares? It's called Werewolves Within.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I saw it pop up on my Amazon Prime. Dude, I haven't got it yet.
You should watch it. It's legitimately like fun, funny. It's on level with like Krampus.
Okay.
We're like, Sean and I several years ago walked into watching it thinking we were going to see hot trash. And then we were like,
oh, that was kind of entertaining.
Yeah, that was really fun. So if you just like let go of your whatever. But Werewolves Within, super fun. It's like a murder mystery. They're all kind of like in the same location, and one of us is the killer. So it was like,
do you ever play the game Werewolves?
It was kind of like that with like a lot more comedy. I thought it was going to be like trying to take itself serious scary movie, but it's like,
see, that's comedic. What makes those kind of movies is when they don't self-aware. Take themselves yep. too serious.
Yeah.
The like, self-awareness breaks like the fourth wall. And just gives them a free pass to do whatever they want. Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know this is dumb.
Bro, bring that up. Nick searched.
Well, he doesn't look like Jared Leto.
Yeah. If you told right? me it was, I would have been like, oh, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I went through like the movie was long. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes. I went through 3 hours of watching that dude, not knowing it was Jared Leto.
Who is this schmuck?
Anyway.
All right, so should we get into it or cover anything else, y'all?
No. Let's go.
Wait, just so the listeners know, your health is good. You feeling better?
Feeling better. Still winded. Okay. I think I still have pneumonia.
Is pneumonia contagious?
No. Not the, there's like bacterial like made and out. Then viral pneumonia. Mine's not contagious.
Got you.
But I'm doing all right.
Cool.
It's good.
All right, let's get into stories. All right, now we roll our 20-sided die to see in what order we tell our stories. Highest number goes first. The roll.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. I have benefited from therapy in a way that it's allowed me to feel a lot more light. Lightness in my heart, my head. My emotions. If that's something that you are needing, if that's something that's missing, give therapy a try. Give BetterHelp a try. We want to hook you up by getting it off your chest and it be a little lighter on the wallet. Go ahead and visit betterhelp.com/3am and you can get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3AM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bitch.
And the numbers are...
Bitch!
3-5-20.
3-5-20. So the order is DJ Sean Charlie. Good job, dude. Your prize is you get to tell the bonus story today.
We haven't had a crit in a while, dude.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to start this with a listener submission. This is from the homie Nick Chomps.
Oh.
Nick Chomps, dude.
So the year is 2019 and Nick travels to Japan. And he heads east of Tokyo. I assume he lands in Tokyo, catches some transportation over to what's called the Chiba
Prefecture. The Chiba Prefecture is
the entire coastal region east of Tokyo. Mm. Tokyo is a little bit inland. I think it's kind of on a bay. There we go. Yeah, so Chiba is like the whole eastern region. And there's a good mix of city because it's like on the outskirts of Tokyo. Mm. And there's also super rural parts, which is where he's headed. So he arrives to his uncle's joint. And his uncle has a nice little house kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's on a vegetable farm. So he gets there.
Dude, I'm getting Ghibli vibes right now.
Yeah. It's his uncle and his uncle's partner. And it's day one.
So does homie have two uncles or?
No, it's his, I believe it's his wife.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the way the house is set up is uncle and their partner live in on the bottom floor, the ground floor. Mm-hmm. And there's a rusty set of stairs with an awning on the side of the house that go up to the second floor. And it's separate. And it's just like a normal apartment. So that's where he's staying. So he takes his luggage up. He gets inside, has everything. Living room, his bedroom, bathroom. He doesn't have much trouble sleeping that first night because he's tired from like 14 hours of travel. Wakes up in the morning and he meets up with his uncle and his partner and their two cats. And he's just chilling with them, catching up. And naturally, the conversation leads to ghost stories.
Ooh.
And being in Japan, the uncle, who I believe sounds like he's a foreigner, maybe he's from the U.S., and his partner or his wife or girlfriend is from Japan. She's a native there. And she's kind of steering the conversation, and she's talking to Nick. She says, do you know anything about yurei? Y-U-R-E-I, yurei. And she explains that yurei are like the spirits, apparitions,
yurei are
like ghosts.
Like the spirit. apparition.
Of Japan. So she's talking about the different types of yurei and what's known in the region. And sitting there, it sounds like Nick was just enamored by the whole experience because he's in a new country. He's hearing these new stories about these new ghosts that are specific to this area. Mm-hmm. And he said, I feel like I was dropped into the perfect Japanese horror movie. So.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
So that night.
Wait, have you guys looked into yurei at all?
Negative. A bit.
It's
yurei
like,
and something else that I'll be talking about in a little bit.
There's but just like.
What do you know?
There's so many different types. Mm-hmm. And they're like very specific. So it's like a man without a head who has a huge mouth on his torso and just like runs around at night. And it's just like so many different characters. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's less of like a transparent ghost and more of like
a demon
creature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like humans with like something's off or I don't know. Yeah. It's just crazy. And it's like so varied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to get more into it, which I will.
I feel like some yurei like has, it's a guy with like his head up his butt or something. Like some, and I'm not joking. I'm being dead serious. Anyway. Cool.
Dope.
I'm excited to hear.
Night falls and he's still pretty tired from travel. So he goes to sleep pretty quickly. He says it's about an hour before midnight. And it wasn't long until he was awoken by slow, deliberate scratching on his bedroom door. So he's laying there and he's listening to it.
Two cats.
He's like, that has to be the cats. Because I think it sounded like in the story that they stayed upstairs. Mm. So Nick is thinking, he says, I don't want to chance it. I'm just going to lock the door. Smart. So he walks up, click. As soon as he clicks the lock, the scratching stops. And he says, okay, this, I just scared the cats away. You know,
we're good.
Yeah. So he heads back to bed. He has a lot of trouble falling back to sleep. He said all night, the sound of the scratching was just replaying in his head over and over.
and it was just really distracting. I don't think he was super terrified. It was just distracting, and he couldn't. He just had a rough time sleeping the rest of the night. So next day, day three, he wakes up, and he meets up with his uncle again and uncle's partner, and they get lunch. And he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, last night I woke up because the cats kept scratching on the door. So I just locked the door, and they ran off. And he laughed and just kind of shrugged, which is when uncle's partner says, both cats last night slept in our bedroom downstairs. As soon as he heard that, chills up his spine. He's thinking, no, the weather wasn't crazy last night. Outside the house, there's no trees to scratch the windows or the walls or anything like that. I can't think of anything that would have made that sound. And I know it was at my door. I know for a fact. And I know that it stopped because it was just on the other side. It's just inches away from you, you know, when I locked the door that night. He said the rest of his time, he stayed in hostels.
Sayonara.
He said he had a handful of experiences, but that one was the most terrifying. He didn't detail the rest of his experiences, but he said he had a good rest of the time in Japan. And yeah, so that was Nick's story. And he was, how he talked about how his uncle's partner mentioned Yurei that sent me down the rabbit hole.
Oh.
I started doing my studies. And that's where I found tons of information on Yurei. And a listener on Discord said we should get into also yokai. So yokai is mainly what I'm going to be talking about tonight. But the world of Yurei and yokai seem to be one. They all kind of live together, terrorizing people. Or helping, because there are good ones.
Maybe it's
as
like
well.
Ghost poltergeist, where it's like kind of the same.
Yeah. They're all in the same realm.
Rectangles and squares and shit.
Exactly. Shapes and magnets. How do they work?
I don't know. Yeah.
So I have a few specific, and I love that you said that they're like characters, because this is exactly what they have. They have their own like characteristics and features and attributes that make them unique to themselves. And from each other. Mm. Very different from Western style ghosts, where it's either like a woman in a white dress or like somebody's actual ghost, and they're just mad or angry and vengeful spirits, mm-hmm. and they just hang around. Whereas these, they all have like a specific purpose or job or something about their like physical characteristic of their body. Like plays into their character as a whole. It's fascinating. So these stories I'll be sharing with our patrons. Ooh. So head to our link in bio if you're not a patron. Otherwise, patrons, we'll see you in a sec. What's up, patrons? We're continuing on In Japan, covering Yurei and Yokai. So the difference between the two is Yurei.
Okay. How do you guys collect stories?
Depends.
Like, I guess more specifically, are there some stories you kind of just like keep in the pocket until you can like get more on it?
Yeah, there's a bunch that I have on deck that I need to find more information like
and stuff.
Yeah, just to add to it because I want to serve it when it's perfect.
I'm the same way. And a lot of times there has been like easily 15 plus times where the stories I get are like pure synchronicity. Like something happens and something else happens. And then I'm just like, all right, that's my story. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've been sitting on this subject for a while because I had two stories and I always felt like I needed one more to really flesh it out to kind of like, deliver a better, you know, content for you guys. But, as that happened and I got a little more stories, we're just scratching the surface. So we're not deep diving, but we're going to dip our toe into a subject we haven't really done yet. And how this all kind of started out was back when we were in Seattle. Literally when we were in Seattle, this is like when I started, like, I was like, oh shit. We were downstairs in this market of this food place and we're walking around and everyone's kind of shopping and people are like split up and stuff. the very, what is that called? Like fisherman or market?
Pike's Place.
So we're at Pike's Place. We're downstairs. We're like in the back corner at the very end.
It's crazy because upstairs is bustling.
Yeah.
And if you go down a level, there's easily like
different
vibe. 20% of the people there.
Yeah.
And it's not as.
It's like old bookstores, like weird curios, a magic shop we really liked.
Yeah. Feels like a Nocturne Alley.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, upstairs is Diagon Alley and then downstairs is Nocturne Alley.
Yeah.
So we're downstairs and we're at the very end. There's like literally no one else. And it's a dimly lit, like it has things hanging from the ceiling and all these like dark, and it's a psychic.
Ooh.
And I turned to the closest person to me who was our friend Janelle. And I was like, dude, you want to go? Like, we should go get our like palms futures red
or yeah. something.
And she was like, oh no. And I was like, what? And she's like, no, I don't know about it. And I was like, why? Like, what? And she tells me she has a roommate named Amy, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
When Amy was young, she was like interested in tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And she told her parents that she wanted to like get her tarot cards read, or she was going to go get that done by a friend or something. And both of her parents like freeze and look at her and they say, we forbid you to get your tarot cards read.
That's just going to make you go and get the tarot cards read.
Is that the Streisand effect? Like when you like try to outlaw or hide
when
something,
you forbid
it
something.
Like makes it more.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So Amy is like, thinking, what the heck? Like, why are my parents? They have the strong, like, they are dead ass serious. Like, the mom is almost close to tears. Like, we straight up do not go do that.
Hmm.
Do not do that.
Sus.
I don't know if it's then or later, but they tell her the reason. So, this is now Amy's parents' story and the reason why they're forbidding Amy never, never go see a psychic, never get your tarot card read. Don't mess with any of that.
Mm hmm.
When they were a young couple, they had a couple friend who they would travel with. They would hang out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And much like us, they were on a trip and they see tarot card reading here. And they say, oh, that would be fun. Let's go do it. So they run over. They go in this dark, dingy spot. There's this old lady with beads and shawls and all the things. And she starts reading their cards. She does one at a time. Does Amy's parents first, and it's things like, you know, you'll have misfortune, but it says here, good luck will come, right? So it's all this like
all ambiguous, very, like general. Broad.
Super vague.
Yeah. It's like, you will experience ambiguous. Something in the next month.
What? No way.
Crazy. And then Amy's parents' friends go, and the fortune teller's going, and it's the same type of vibe, but it's the dad. And she pulls the death card. But this time the fortune teller is like visibly affected by that card. And the mood in the room is different.
The grim.
The fortune teller is pretty concerned. Maybe tries to play it off. Maybe tries to like whatever. And then the mom goes, or the partner of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Couple cards in. Death card.
Frick, dude.
So I don't know how they parted. And Amy's parents refused to tell the details. But those two, within the year, both tragically died. So Amy's parents is like best friends growing up.
Right.
Both passed away super quick to getting like two death cards at a tarot card reading.
But like, did the tarot cards cause that or make them aware of that?
That's the crazy thing about like, is it like telling the future?
Look, I've like, had my tarot cards like, read and somebody needs to make a believer out of me because.
Dude, whatever. You're okay. So we all got our tarot cards read by Kevin's sister. His sounded accurate to me.
No, dude, it was so vague.
Like you're
it was
a stalwart, like lone island guy who like refuses to ask for help.
But lonely maybe, island guy.
Yeah. I don't know. So those
experiences for sure, like I see why they would react to that.
Because possibly
like that way to Amy.
It's like, what? Okay, like even if it's not real, what's the benefit? But if there is a risk, why do it? I could see like the maybe risk, that's their reward. Mentality.
Yeah. I get it. That makes sense.
Amy went and got her tarot cards read many times after that, from what I hear. So obviously she wasn't too affected. We are on the huge Ferris wheel in Seattle, right? Janelle tells me why she didn't want to do the tarot card reading. As she tells me that, Emily, who's sitting there, goes, oh, I have a story about a psychic. And I was like, that's when I was like, because when I'm looking for stories and I'm thinking of a subject, it will just like come up, right?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden it was like, ooh, another one. And I was like, this is it. I'm going to save Emily's story for a minute. Let me dive into some things. Okay. What is your honest opinion on fortune tellers? Do you think it's pure malarkey, Sean? Like there's absolutely nothing going on. It's just like guesswork and...
Well, people are going to get lucky after enough guesses.
But you do think they are guesses?
Like 100% of the time?
I mean, after as many reports as there have been about things being accurate, they're either extremely lucky some of the time or there's got to be something behind it. I just don't see it.
So you lean way more towards it's just like guesswork and...
Yeah.
It's hokey.
Yeah.
DJ?
I have no sense.
Okay, let me broaden the question. What are your thoughts on fortune telling, divination, and prophecy?
There's got to be a lot of guesswork in there somewhere.
Here's the thing. We're Mormon.
Like anyone and with a religious background.
You're a pretty like true believing Mormon. You believe in prophets.
Okay, yeah.
Seers and revelators.
Yeah.
And angels.
Okay, yeah. So there's an opposite.
And evil spirits.
And opposite to that, which is, means there's got to be prophecy going on the other direction.
Or just prophecy even existing outside of the realm of our Mormon realm.
But I also believe that man is imperfect and can be guessing a lot.
For sure.
I don't know.
Do you have any thoughts to tell you? I think it's real.
I think it's real.
Like it's possible or?
Yeah, I think it's 100% possible.
Divination?
Yeah. But I think it's not very probable. Like every shop you walk into, like they're actually doing what they're saying. What do you think, Nick?
My mind first goes to, there's this neuroscience class I took about self-fulfilling prophecy. When you hear these prophecies or tarot cards read or anything, your mind's instantly more likely to link to any of those events that are similar to that. And because of that, you're more likely to fall along the timeline. So I fall more on, you can make educated guesses, but you still have your own self-control that can play out that timeline.
That kind of plays into like the secret or just like your perception is reality. Cause there's like, there's cases where like this man had cancer and they gave him all this medicine. And then they were like, this will cure it. And he was getting better quickly.
Yeah.
And then they realized they were giving him placebo the whole time. And they told him and he like died within the year.
Yeah.
Because it was his perception. He was getting better. And then they were like, oh shit. No, well, you're
it's
not.
Like the tarot card situation too. Like, they died within the year. Mm-hmm. What if they had died in 5 years? They're like, oh shit, that tarot card reader predicted it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I feel like I would want to tell, and I don't know if that's possible, but I would tell the reader, one, don't give me anything middle of the road. Like try to be specific if possible. And two, don't tell me. Write it down and tell me to open it up by a certain date.
Ooh.
That way I can look back.
And see if it was true.
Yes.
Okay, I see you.
Instead of it taking like, it can't be a placebo at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing though. I think they might say something to the effect of like, that's not necessarily how it works. You can't just like.
The hoax would say this.
Yeah, but even maybe the pure or like the real psychic would
Why
say
not?
This.
Why do they have to really verbalize it? Why can't they just write it down?
Because I don't think they're like privy to information. I don't know how to explain this. Like, you can't like command, you can't like ask specific things really. At least this is how I feel. It's more like information is offered to you rather than like you saying, I want the answer to this. Does that make sense? Like you can't be like, what are the lottery cards numbers? To
yeah.
The, I don't know.
But I don't care what they write down. I just don't want to hear it at that point.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Like I just want whatever happens is going to happen. Like let it run its course.
So you just don't want to know and then go back and like see if it.
Matt lined up.
So it doesn't affect your.
Yeah.
My actions. Yeah. Gotcha. Exactly.
Well, maybe there are some fortune tellers that do something like that. I mean, the amount of fortune tellers there are out there, I don't know any of them, but like that are out there, there has to be something like that.
That feels like a method that would be like foolproof to like proving or disproving.
Right. I feel like the whole genre.
Like medium psychics.
Doesn't feel the need to prove itself.
I mean, there's video after video of them getting proven wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like debunked. Rightfully so. Like, I wasn't even wanting to go into this deep, but it seems pertinent. It's a huge industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a lot of like, ask me anythings on Reddit. It was like, I used to be a psychic for like 20 years. I swindled people. I lied to them and got a lot of money. Ask me anything. And they just talked about like, dude, it's to the point now where it's like text in psychics. And there's like one person sitting there texting like 30 people at once, just charging a ton of money, selling them pipe dreams. And like, ooh, like if you do this, you'll find true love. You know what I mean?
That's what we need to start doing. 3 a.m. psychics.
Oh, I guarantee you there's apps for that already.
Yeah. And so like there is a super bustling industry for like fraud and people who just are looking for hope. Right. And I think even the people kind of know. Right.
Yeah.
It's like last ditch effort.
Yeah. And it's like, you're just looking for any hope wherever. I don't know.
Okay. So what else have you found on this?
Where I lie on it is probably close with DJ is I think it's real. I think the act of man perceiving things that have not happened is real. However, I believe like it's probably insanely rare. I don't know how to explain it. And if someone scientifically proved me wrong, I wouldn't fight it. I wouldn't be like, whoa, okay. You know
what I mean? Yeah.
But I'm very open to the idea of it being real. I got a source, and this is a famous folklorist and ethnologist, which is like the study of cultures and peoples,
mm-hmm.
and a folklorist, which is cool.
Ooh.
Like studies folklore from all around the world. Some Swedish dude. His name is Sven. Liljenblad.
Liljenblad.
Sean, how was the pronunciation?
That was spot on.
Perfect. So he defined divination as the art of determining the unknown by supernatural means, whether this concerns future events or occurrences, which are distinct in space. He further identifies three ways that such knowledge could be obtained. One, a gifted person acquires knowledge through ecstasy, spiritual moments, and insight. Two, dreams or visions can also grant knowledge about the future or of far-off places. And finally, three, through training or gifted insight, a person is able to read natural occurrences as indicative of the future or distant events. That's just like the brief summation that guy gave, but he dives so deep. He talks about every culture. Every culture has some sort of like divination or fortune telling. It's weird. It's to class it all together. I don't mean to do it because fortune telling is very different than like, you know, the shaman in the tribe who's like trying to see the outcome of the war, right? Like that's right. Everywhere. He talks about, you know, Egypt, Asian countries, African countries, they all have some sort of like seeing the future, mm-hmm. whether it's like throwing the bones on the ground, seeing how they lie, right?
Yeah.
Or like Tibetan monks, you know, achieving this through meditation and whatnot. Anyway, so it's a theme in mankind that's like from the beginning. And it's hard to deny. And if you're a religious person, it's like religion is all built off prophecy. So I don't know. But is your local fortune teller real? Who knows? I'm going to skip several stories and I'm just going to tell Emily's. So Emily is the wife of our good friend Reed from Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Emily served an LDS mission, service mission in Cambodia and Vietnam. She's near the end of her mission. And throughout her mission, she's heard stories of this lady in this area. This lady was one of the best fortune tellers, like, around, maybe in Cambodia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was interested in the church, got taught, believed it was true, got baptized, and stopped doing that. I think it was like her profession, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she still loves to, just for fun, tell the future or tell the fortune of any sister missionary who is going home soon. Just for fun.
Oh, shoot.
Emily's aware of this. She's going home soon. So she's like, dude,
let's go do it.
Let's go visit the fortune teller lady.
Worlds colliding.
Yeah. So she went to the house of Ko Kim Lai. She walks in. They're pretty familiar with her. I think they've met several times, or she might even live in the area. They sit down, they get comfortable, and I'm just going to call her Ko Kim. Ko Kim, she makes it very clear. Okay, now listen, this is just for fun, right? None of this is real. We're just doing this for fun. So her process, Emily sits down. I'm sure Ko Kim sets the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts asking Emily a ton of questions. She asks her, what day of the week were you born? What's your birthday? What time were you born? Emily's answering these questions. I don't know if Ko Kim's writing these down, but a lot is happening. You can see like calculations or whatever. Ko Kim then goes over to a pad of paper and starts writing down a ton of numbers. She writes these all down on this piece of paper and she starts circling numbers. And Emily's just watching her do this. And as she's circling some numbers, she's going through crossing other ones out. At some point, Ko Kim stops. Says, oh, okay. And this is her prediction for Emily. She then told me, I'm going to have a pretty good future with lots of kids that take care of me when I'm old. And all I'll do is eat and sleep. She then told me I was going to get married, and I asked if she knew who I was going to get married to. She said she couldn't tell me, but she said, you already know him.
Oh, shoot.
And she also says he's a missionary right now. He's also half Asian like you. And his dad is Caucasian. His mom is Asian. She kept asking a ton of questions. What's his name? Where does he live? How do I know him? How do I already know him? Is he a missionary? Where is he? She's asking a ton of questions. And Ko Kim just goes, you'll find out in 6 months.
The timeline.
Yeah.
Be specific. That's what I need.
At the time, Emily's hearing this, and I wanted to tell this in a different way. I didn't mean to reveal that we knew Emily. But anyway, at the time she's hearing all this and she's like, it's kind of like going over her head. It's just like vague stuff, right? She's like, wow, that's crazy. She steps down and her companion steps up. It's time for her to get her future told. Once again, Ko Kim asks her questions, day of the week, birthday, whatever. All these numbers, circle, cross. He goes, huh, your fortune.
Doesn't sound misfortune. This excited.
She said, you will have a very hard life. You will be working until you're old. And you will marry someone who will be drunk and abusive all the time. Emily's sitting there like,
oh, that's okay. You don't have to believe it if you don't want.
It's all fun, remember? So she says, I wasn't fully believing anything she was saying. I just thought it was like a fun experience. They both leave. They kind of chuckle, chortle. That sucks, you know? Haha, yours sucked, you know? And they leave. As we were leaving her house, Ko Kim says goodbye. She hugs Emily. She pulls her close. And she says, congratulations on the wedding. And they depart. So the two missionaries, the sisters, they go home. And they're just, they're talking about the experience. It was so fun. And Emily's doing her best to go through. She's combing her mind. I already know this guy. Like, who the heck is it? She's going through, trying to figure it out. Nothing's coming to mind. Whatever.
Yeah.
It was just for fun. Gets home. from Cambodia. She's back in the United States. It becomes a distant memory to her. Like, she doesn't even think of it. And she gets a text. She gets a text from Reed, who is our friend, my cousin, and who happens to be half Asian, who has a white dad, Asian mom, and was serving a mission at the time, the same time Emily got this prediction, and they had met in the MTC, like in the Missionary Training Center. Gets a text. It's from this freaking scoundrel named Reed. And it says like, yo, what up, boo? You want to go out? Not, it doesn't say that. It probably says something.
It might have said that. We don't know.
But nonetheless, it was asking her out on a date, and she accepted. And it wasn't until later that she looked at the timeline, and it was like 6 months from when she got the prediction. Those two ended up getting married. And so far, looks like everything about her prediction is coming true.
What about the friend? Did she ever talk to the...
So they've kept in touch. The friend actually reached out to Emily when she saw Emily announcing her wedding with Reed. And she says, like, is it true? Like, all the details true? And Emily's like, yeah, like all the details are true. And her companion is just like, I am terrified. I am so terrified. And to this day, she's an older, like she's like 10 years older than us or something like that, or than Emily. And she still is single because she is absolutely terrified about like getting married.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like,
yeah,
that is, but like, how does that explain Emily? Emily's experience.
It does not.
Dude, to me, Emily's experience is like one of the most compelling.
All right. I'm a believer.
Prediction.
Okay. I've never heard that.
I know, right?
That's wild.
Okay, wait. So it's probably worth mentioning that Ko Kim has given multiple fortunes that have come true to other missionaries. So this lady became renowned because so many sister missionaries at the end of the mission would go to her, and like people were freaking out about how
accurate. Like accurate, yeah.
So my companion messaged me after I got married and my fortune had come true and told me she's now scared to get married because of mine being true, and hers must also be true. The very end, I asked Ko Kim Lai where she learned how to do it, and all she said was, the master taught her.
Oh, that's wild.
So who knows? I don't know,
the master. That's so crazy.
Dude, I want to meet this lady, bro.
Get your fortune told, dude. We've got to go to Cambodia
and ask her. Sorry if I pronounce anything wrong, but dude, so we're in the Ferris wheel. Janelle just told me that story about that. And then Emily tells me this story and I'm like, dude, I cannot wait to share this with these dudes.
You've held on to this for...
Because about a month ago, one of our listeners messaged and he goes, hey, I have a ton of stories about fortune tellers. Do you guys want to hear them? And I was like, there it is. So I'd been waiting. I won't share those now. We'll share those at another time because we're running a little long. But there's also one more story. The reason why I haven't shared this is because I haven't been able to track it down. And we first heard it in Hawaii. We were all sharing scary stories. And we turn, and one of Janelle's friends who was living in Hawaii was just happening to like visit DJ's home. And we're all in this dark room. It's the only room in the house with air conditioning. So we're like 10 of us deep and people are just like lying on the floor and we're sharing scary stories. This might even be before 3 a.m. And anyone else have stories? Like, I've heard DJ stories. I've heard Sean's stories. Anyone else here have stories? Everyone? No, no, no. Becca? No. And we like, Becca, come on. Like, do you have anything? And she goes, well, I have one, but it's like, it's the worst story. It's not even scary. And we're like, who cares? Tell it. And she tells a story. And it was like the best story of the night. And I heard it once, but it's like 6 years ago.
I can't remember a single bit of it.
I feel like I remember like the hit points.
Good that you don't remember. Good that you kind of remember.
Did the you hit track points, it down?
No. Oh. The hit points have to do with the fortune teller. And so as soon as I get that story, we're going to revisit this subject because there's so much here.
Yeah.
It is so deep. Like I want to go into like various ways, different cultures, like, cause like the throwing the stick stuff, like dice, like there's bones. So much cars. It's crazy. Yeah.
I remember hearing that story and thinking it was one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
It was definitely the scariest of the night. We're all like, what the hell? That's not a good story.
And she's like, anyway, that was all.
Anyway, that was my experience. Yeah. everyone just like flabbergasted. Yeah.
Slack jawed and wide eyed. I've called her a couple times and she's called back and the timing
this just didn't
work. Yeah.
All right. And free reign. All three of us, if anyone can get the story, who cares who gets it, share it. I just want to hear it. Okay. But that's my story tonight. I want to thank Janelle for sharing that and Emily for sharing that. Fun stories. Like,
yeah.
Crazy subject we haven't really gone into so much.
The master.
Dude. I got chills twice when she pulls her close and she says, congratulations on the wedding. Like, that made it way more real. And then when she said, yeah, the master taught me.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? Who is that?
Okay. Well, it's possible.
If any listeners out there have compelling stories of storytelling or fortune telling, dude, my brain is shutting
any
off.
Any stories of storytelling?
Yeah. Of fortune telling, let us know, or anything with psychics. It's very interesting to me and I would love to hear more, but thank you, Janelle and Emily.
Bros, this has been a fun night. Good. Everyone stories. Did their due diligence. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Did you have anything else before we close?
If you have a story, share, go to our website, the3ampodcast.com, or hit the link in bio on our Instagram at the3ampod. Send in your stories. Yeah. And we love you.
Yeah.
Love you all. Trust your gut. Watch your back.
I love you. Be safe.
Be careful out there.
Bye. See ya.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of 3AM. If you want to support us, visit our Patreon, where patrons have access to exclusive content. If you're not able to support us monetarily, don't worry. This episode is on us. You can still rate and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on. It really does go a long way. You can also follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere, including Patreon, is the3AMPod. Finally, do you have any scary stories? If so, submit them to our website, the3ampodcast.com. We love any audio or visual aids that can help bring your stories to life, so file uploads are welcome with your written submissions. We're anxious and excited to hear from you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series,
and that's when murder. All this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.